Welcome to another episode of Catching Up with Jacob. Unfortunately, Marco is still in Australia. We would ask that you would continue to keep him in prayer, keep Davey in prayer, keep the whole team in prayer, also David Lister. I believe they might be in New Zealand now. I'm not sure. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but we've heard some great reports. A lot of brothers and sisters coming together, praying, and just having sweet fellowship with one another. So praise God for the work that he's doing with the Montreal team there. And I'd like to go ahead and welcome our panelists today. First of all, you can't, as many have reminded me many times, you can't have Catching Up with Jacob without Jacob Prash. How are you doing, Jacob?
Blessings, dear friends. Wonderful to be with you. I'm just back from Ireland. We have the Montreal Conference coming up this week with Pastor Tim Keller and myself, and that'll be the Submergent Church here in England. And then, Lord willing, all being well, I shall be joining Mark Jackson in India. And after that, the Lord has other plans. But right now, wonderful to be back.
Good to have you back, Jacob. And everything was great in Ireland.
Better than expected, particularly in the Republic of Ireland. Things always go well in Northern Ireland, and they did this time. But they went better than expected in the Republic of Ireland. Not that I chased numbers or anything, but attendance was double what was anticipated in County Roscommon.
Oh, praise God, praise God. Good to hear that people are hearing the good news. And my friend, my brother, my co-host, my left to his right?
Yeah.
My peanut butter to his jelly, Ken Smith.
How you doing, Jay? Good to see you. Week number two.
I know. Yeah.
I'm a fill-in.
No. I think this needs to be a permanent thing now.
Oh, wow. Two shows a week. Wow. I don't know. Jacob was just telling us how many he does, and I don't know if I could even hang with that.
Yeah. I don't want to do that many shows either.
Yeah.
I
don't.
Well, we just want to thank you. We want to remind you, of course, that everything you hear on Montreal TV, whether it be a Bible study, whether it be Ken's Corner, whether it be this episode of Catching Up with Jacob, is available on podcast. You can find it on Podchasers, Amazon Podcasts. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, of course. And you can download, listen to them anytime you want to. And what's better? It's free. There's nothing currently on the schedule that we can go over, so we can just jump right into our first story. Jacob, you have an update. The British reaction to the Israeli war.
Yeah. Before we go there, I would just like to, once again, as always, encourage our viewers concerning where to watch us. YouTube is highly restrictive. Facebook is no friend. But we have our own servers, our own platforms. We have Montreal TV, Montreal.tv, MontrealTV.org. We are also on Rumble. And then there's RTN and various other platforms. Please go to Rumble. Please go to MorielTV.org. Go to Moriel.tv. We'd encourage you not to watch us where we can be censored or given strikes by people who don't like conservative Christian positions, or pro-Israel positions, or pro-life positions. Social media is no friend of freedom. We are. That's the first thing. The second thing I would just very, very briefly like to point out is my thanks to those who've been supporting Moriel's work for believers in the army in Israel. It's been tremendous. We send these things, these packages, to believers serving in combat units, and they share them with their comrades and say, these are socks, first aid kits, whatever, from born-again Christians in the United States, in Britain, Australia, Canada, who love Israel and the Jewish people and are standing with us. The Israelis are quite aware of the incredible growth of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust-resembling outpouring of Jew hatred globally. And when they see people who believe in Jesus saying that we're standing with you, we're praying for you, these are gifts from believers who stand with you and want to support support your right to exist. It means a lot, and it opens opportunities for evangelism. It is also a substantial witness in itself. So our thanks to those who've been making the contributions to Moriel. We are looking to make a major financial grant to a ministry that simply helps believers in the Army and in the reserves pretty soon. And again, it's been the generosity of God's people that's done this. We're only asking for prayers. That's what's most needed. But if anyone is inclined to help the believers in the military and to help the believers to distribute help to the military as a way of engaging them evangelistically and so forth, just go to the Moriel missions page, Israel, Moriel Israel on the missions page, and send a contribution and just designate it Soldiers Fund, Soldiers Fund. And we guarantee every penny, every cent will go directly to believing soldiers. But once more, thank you so much for all those who have contributed and who are contributed. It means a tremendous amount. This ugly, terrible mess and this growth of anti-Semitism does present an opportunity for the gospel. When Jewish people see that there are Christians who love us and stand with us in the face of anti-Semitism, in the face of Islamic terror, in the face of media bias, and these people are our friends and are standing with us, praying for us, sending us thermal socks, sending us first aid kits, sending us the practical things that we need, and footwear. It means a great deal. It means a great deal. So thank the Lord and thank you also. Sorry about that. Go ahead, James. She was not opposed to their legal right to protest. What she was opposed to is the police bias by the left-leaning police leadership. The police leadership, it's very much like the FBI in America. You have the FBI with a left-leaning political Gestapo-type leadership. Well, there's a British equivalent of that, particularly in the Met, the Metropolitan Police, but it's throughout the nation. Muslim gangs of pimps, organized gangs of pimps, were pimping off underage British girls. And this was all suppressed so as not to offend the Islamic community in a place called Rotherham. Things like this have happened in various cities throughout the UK and especially in London. The police are just pandering. While they are very forceful in any kind of right-wing protest, when it comes to Islamic militancy, even though the Muslims are saying the most outrageous things, supportive of Hamas, a terrorist organization, the police are letting them get away with things that other people would not be allowed to get away with. This bias is endemic in Britain. You see them going after street preachers, but not radical Islam preachers, not homosexual lesbian activists. They go after Christians. This is the policy of the police, and it's because of the leadership. Suella Braverman is an Asian. She's from Goa. Now, most of India had at one time been British. Goa is an exception. Goa had been Portuguese. She's from a Catholic family background, but she's completely Asian. Yet she's a British patriot. This just shows that had it been someone who was white, a Caucasian, saying these statements about militant Islam, they would have been accused of racism. They can't accuse her of racism because she's a woman of color herself. She's a British patriot. You know, she's like a Candace Owen in the United States. They can't accuse her of racism, so they accuse her of being a patsy for the white racist establishment or the black face of white racism. This is the kind of thing that happens. Well, there's a British equivalent of that. What you see happening in the FBI, what you see happening in the media, what you see happening with the left, there's a British equivalent of that. There's also a British equivalent of rhinos, rhino Republicans. There are those who are conservative in name only. The Conservative Party is split. Those who are supporting her remarks and those who are opposed to it. Now, all she is calling for is equitable treatment of civil disorder. by protesters, especially those engaged in hate-motivated speech, insightful speech that is racially driven against Jews. That's all she's saying. Yet she's being condemned and saying she's interfering with the police, and she's trying to restrict the police or tell the police. She's the Home Secretary. She's the equivalent of the Attorney General. Yet she's being told her actions are inappropriate because she is complaining that the police are not being equitable in the enforcement of hate crimes and in violent demonstrations. Black Lives Matter being allowed to get away with the most unspeakable things. You've got the British equivalent. She's spoken out bravely and with integrity, but she's facing demands for resignation, not only from the left and the mainstream media, the BBC, etc., but from the panderers within her own party, much the same as the Bush dynasty pandered to Saudi Arabia in the Republican Party and people like Cheney. You've got that same thing in Great Britain. They're making her the villain when all she has done is stand up for law and order and opposition to hate crimes and anti-Semitism and violent protest, demanding that the police equitably apply the law to all parties, not just to people who have a conservative orientation or a right-wing orientation, but also to those with a left-wing orientation and to those who pursue an Islamist agenda, a pro-Hamas agenda, and they want to get rid of her for that. She's a woman of integrity. She's a woman of courage. And she's an Asian. I do pray for her. I ask people to pray for Suella Braverman. I thank God that there is such a Home Secretary. I assure you, if she's removed, whoever replaces her is not going to be a person of that kind of integrity or courage. She's a wonderful, wonderful Home Secretary by the standards of modern British government. You couldn't have somebody better. And I'm glad that she's there, and I hope God keeps her there.
Jacob, for those who don't know British politics as well, does her fate solely rely on Rishi Sunak?
In the British system, yes, political pressure within the party. He would have the power to ultimately fire her, or to he could order her to make a retraction. And if she refused to make the retraction, she'd have to resign from the position as Home Secretary, although she would still remain in the party as a member of Parliament. What that would do, though, is it could divide the Conservative Party and make her a viable opposition candidate to Sunak, which I think would be a good thing. I'd much rather have her than Sunak as Prime Minister.
Very interesting. And do you think Rishi Sunak kind of favors getting rid of her for political expedience?
I think he's going to do whatever is in his best political interest, but he's walking a tightrope. Mm. At the moment, he's in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting situation. Now, also going on in Great Britain, something that you told me about, Jacob, in the pre-show, the British Veterans Day is being hijacked at the same time. So we're seeing an erosion of what is essentially patriotism for the UK at the same time. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Unbelievable. It is called Armistice Day, which is roughly the British equivalent of the American Armistice Day, which was in November, no longer really celebrated much, and Memorial Day. It is a day when Britain commemorates the memory of those killed in the First and Second World Wars, and it honors the disabled veterans. They sell these red poppies that you clip on your lapel, and the money goes to charities supporting these disabled veterans. Some of them are blind, some of them are in wheelchairs, many of them are old. It's called, they sell these poppies. This is the British Armistice Day. It's a very important day in Great Britain. People on the Sunday of that week, if it falls on a Sunday, will go to church, who normally would not go to church, just in honor of the memory of those who have fallen in battle in the First and Second World Wars, the war against Hitler and so forth. It is a big day in Britain. And there is a national ceremony of something called the cenotaph. There are a number of cenotaphs throughout Britain. These cenotaphs are war memorials. The main one is on Whitehall in England, near number 10 Downing Street, where the king will place a wreath, and there will be a parade and a procession of military and veterans, going back to the old gentlemen who fought in the D-Day and things of this will be in the procession. It's a big deal. It's on television. It's a time where people show respect to the military heritage of Britain in the Great World Wars. And it's a time of charitable events on behalf of disabled veterans. It's a big deal in Britain, a very big deal. And it's sacrosanct. The Islamic community is trying to hijack it. They want to turn it into a pro-Hamas, anti-Israel demonstration day instead of the British Memorial Day. And the laws on the books allow them to do it. There's been a whole political battle about keeping them away from the cenotaph in London. One cenotaph in the north of England has already been defaced by Free Palestinian spray painting and graffiti and things of this nature. They're defacing cenotaphs. An aged World War II veteran selling poppies on behalf of his comrades who are disabled from the Second World War in the rail station in Glasgow, Scotland, was beat up by a gang of Muslims. He was this disabled veteran selling poppies was beat up by a gang of Muslims and left wingers in a railway station in Glasgow. This is what radical Islam is doing in Britain. This is what Suella Braverman is opposing, and this is why they want her to resign. They are actually trying to hijack the Memorial Day, the day set aside to remember the war dead and to run charitable drives on behalf of disabled veterans. It is unspeakable. It just shows you that so much of the Islamic community has no loyalty to Britain whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They just want to Islamize Britain. Again, it's an Obadiah 15 situation. As you've done to Israel, it will be done to you. They are simply being intimidated and bullied by the Islamic community and by the pro-Hamas demonstrations with their hate speech, their lies about what's really happened. And now it is not just anti-Israel. They're demanding to take over something that is sacrosanct in British culture. And the political left is aligned with them and letting them get away with it. It is legal to ban certain demonstrations in Britain. Demonstrations have been banned in Northern Ireland. Demonstrations by the ultra-right, the British nationalists, who are actual racists, have been banned. Why will the Islamic marches not be banned, at least on in the Day of Remembrance of the War Dead? Why are they not being banned? You did it to the political right. You did it to the Orange Orders, who most of them are not terrorists, but they still had their marches banned to keep the peace in Northern Ireland, where I just was. Now, they're moderates compared to the Muslims. Why are they being banned? Why when the Muslims aren't? Admittedly, the extreme right, there is a racist right in Britain, sort of like what the Ku Klux Klan type was in the United States, that kind of thing. They exist in fairly small numbers, but their marches have been banned through Islamic neighborhoods. But the Muslims can get away with anything. What others are banned from, the Muslims are allowed to do. And the Home Secretary, who speaks up against it, is facing castigation for objecting. That's what it's come to. If this continues, it is inevitable that what Israel is doing in Gaza, you are going to see that kind of violent confrontation taking place in London, in Birmingham, in Bradford. There will be a civil war of some description between the ethnic British and the Muslim immigration community, in the opinion of many people. I've been saying this for years. If the British government and if Western governments do not stand up against radical Islam, it is going to fuel a racist right reaction. It will come to that in the United States as well. We are letting these people who behave like barbarians close down Grand Central Station at rush hour on a Friday afternoon and close down the Brooklyn Bridge and riot in Los Angeles. Sooner or later, there's going to be patriotic Americans who are going to allow themselves to be drawn to the extreme right. People who would not otherwise want to go in that direction will be drawn to it because the corrupt government will not protect them from radical Islam. No country that has allowed Islamic immigration has not reaped the whirlwind. Donald Trump, for all his other mistakes, actually knew that. He was absolutely correct. Islamic immigration must be restricted and controlled, but it wasn't, and the left didn't want it. And now it is becoming even more serious. Nobody right now is saying that Christians who are from Armenia, with Nagorno-Karabakh, should be allowed into the United States. Nobody is who are being persecuted by Muslims. Nobody is saying that Christians being persecuted in northern Nigeria should be brought as refugees to the United States. Nobody is saying that. But you've got Alexander Ortega-Cortez saying that Palestinian Muslims, radicals, should be brought as refugees to the United States and given social benefit. You've got a Muslim Lord Mayor of London, a Muslim, who himself has said, we have to accept terror as a way of life in modern society because that's the way it is in the Muslim world that he comes from. He is saying we should have Muslim refugees, bring in more of them. And the First Minister of Scotland. It's absurd to have a First Minister of Scotland who's not Scottish. Nonetheless, from the Scottish National Party. Nonetheless, he's there saying to bring in radical Muslim from Gaza as refugees into Britain so the British taxpayer can give them benefit and support them and they can bring their militancy with them. This is what is happening. It is unbelievable. But I do believe, as I've said repeatedly, a reason it is happening, it is God's judgment on the Judeo-Christian world for having turned their back on the faith of the New Testament and on pandering to Israel's enemies. We've seen Israel's enemies pandered to by Bush, repeatedly by Obama, and now by Biden. It will bring God's judgment, and it is.
I wanted to mention, because this has been in our Rumble chat room, veterans in UK are being told not to wear their medals for their safety. And yep. What's even worse is I can draw a direct parallel to what Israel is telling their citizens abroad not to wear anything that could identify them as Jewish. So this is a scary world we live in where we're seeing a repeat of, yes, of history before our eyes.
Notice it comes upon those who pander to Islam. The Jews have to hide their identity. Now, British war veterans who were in prison camps, who were wounded, some of them left blind, crippled in wheelchairs, cannot wear their medals on the National Day of Memorial in their own country because Muslims don't like it. How is this justice? Well, if the Jews aren't going to get any justice, either is anyone else.
Well, this also began in the United States as a movement to tear down, yes, statues of you know, war monuments from the Revolutionary War all the way, yes, through to the Civil War. And again, when nothing is sacred, everything is hoisted as sacred for the mob. That's what we're seeing. Moving on from this, even though we could talk about this topic for a while, I wanted to stress that, Jacob, I believe that what we're seeing run through the world, especially with the pro-Palestinian movement, with the Holocaust denying, with the one-sided nature of Palestinians as victims and Jews as war criminals, I think we're seeing the spirit of Haman from the Book of Esther.
And absolutely.
Ken, as you so perfectly pointed out, the spirit of Haman is the spirit of Antichrist.
Absolutely.
It's the spirit that has come not only to hate God's people who begin with the Jews, but eventually will find its place for believers of Christ. Now, we know that there are mounting calls to bring Palestinians from Britain, from Gaza to Britain, to the United States, to Canada, to Greece, and Spain. However, there's a little hitch. I'm going to share a video real quick. Here is a riot going on in Spain. Now, the Spanish news is claiming that this has to do with Catalan. But as you pointed out, Ken, the real issue is that the Spanish do not want Muslim immigrants. They firmly believe that Spain is a Christian country.
Christian country, yes. And it only takes one country to successfully get rid of the demons, the whole world will follow. If police in Spain are refusing to follow orders because they have used they're being used for political reasons. So, but it's a couple of other countries too, but Spain's the main one that they're protesting in. They're standing up for their Christian rights.
Let's understand two things. First of all, concerning Spain. Spain was invaded and occupied by the Muslims. They built Alhambra in Granada. Ferdinand and Isabella, who franchised Columbus, fought to liberate Spain from the Islamic invaders. Remember, Islam has a long memory concerning jihad. You will find Muslims in North Africa who believe they have a divine mandate from Allah to go back and take Spain and Portugal, because in the Islamic doctrine of Dar el Islam, Allah gave it to them and it belongs to them. They think they are entitled to Spain and Portugal as they think they're entitled to the Balkans. That is their mentality. If it was ever conquered and occupied by Muslims, Allah's given it to them and you have to accept their religion and their right. You have radical Muslims who believe they have to reconquer Spain. And there are people in Spain who know that. Secondly, concerning Haman, remember, Haman was an Agagite. He was an Amalekite, okay? Mm-hmm. He went to Persia, and he turned another country, not the Amalekites, the Persians, against the Jews. Well, that is exactly what the spirit of Haman does. Muslims come to Britain, Muslims come to Canada, Muslims come to Europe, Muslims come to the United States, and to Australia, and tried to turn other countries against the Jews, exactly as Haman did. So you are precisely correct in drawing the comparison to Haman.
Mm-hmm. You know, going back to the conquest of Spain, as I recall, the conquest of Spain, it was under Muslim rule for almost 600 or 700 years, if I'm not mistaken.
On and off.
On and off.
Pockets of resistance and things, but yes. And the Muslims controlled Iberia.
Yeah. And you know, they would have gone into France if it wasn't for Charles Martel.
Martel stopped them in the West. King Jan Sobieski stopped them in Central Europe, Vienna, and the Khazar Empire stopped them in Eastern Europe in the Caucasus.
Mm-hmm. And there is no one in Europe that is doing the same today. In fact, via Turkey, I think we're seeing what could not be done. I believe Jacob said this before. What could not be done under the Ottoman Turks, we're seeing done by the EU.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Unfortunately, you are more than right. However, there's another dimension to this. They see immigration as the path to continuing the jihad,
mm-hmm.
of sending refugees, and that the infidel should support us and give us social benefit. That's the jizra. It's the tax you have to pay for not being a Muslim. They're simply forcing Sharia on Western civilization with the backing of the European left. The colonization of Europe. Remember, they tried repeatedly with the Saracens. They tried in Spain. They tried in France. They tried in Vienna. They tried in the Caucasus. They've tried repeatedly to colonize Europe. And they were always stopped. What we see now is not without precedent, but it is still different. The closest person to resemble what Charles Martel did or what Jan Sobieski did was Milosevic. Now, I'm not saying Milosevic was an angel. There was no good guys in the former Yugoslav war with the Croats, the Serbs, and with the Bosnian Serbs, the Croats, and obviously with the Kosovo Liberation Army. There were no good guys. Nonetheless, Milosevic was trying to defend Europe from an Islamic invasion. The Kosovo Liberation Army were aligned with Al-Qaeda before September 11th. Whose side did NATO take? Whose side did Bill Clinton take? Did Javier Solana take? Whose side did Tony Blair take? And whose side did Wesley Clark take? They took the side of the Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad. There. I don't see anyone that's popularly being supported. But the Balkans is a reminder of where we are at. Want to talk about this further, because now we're going to talk about move from Europe, and we're going to talk about here in the United States. And here in the United States, we have who I like to call Haman's handmaiden. Her name is Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Tlaib has been censored by the United States Congress. They pointed that she uses the phrase "from the river to the sea," which is considered by most rational people that it is calling for the end of Israel's existence. However, Tlaib interjects, "It is an aspirational call for freedom, human rights, and peaceful coexistence, not death, destruction, or hate." Delusional, or is she just lying flat out?
Both.
Look, if I was to put up a billboard saying white people support the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
I was to say it's not about being anti-black, it's about being pro-white. It's nonsense. It's just racism. Well, there's no difference. She's a liar. And her religion allows her to lie, the doctrine of Hudna.
Mm-hmm.
We have something. Her being censored will mean nothing politically. What would mean something politically is a revocation of student visas of protesting students from Islamic countries, cancellation of green cards of immigrants from Islamic countries, unless they were something like interpreters for the American forces in Afghanistan. What would mean something is a ban on immigration from Islamic countries on grounds of national security. And what would mean something is the denationalization of those who made immigration to the United States on false pretenses, not accepting our constitution, but who believed in Sharia. They should be denationalized and deported. That would mean something. But let's go back to the Civil War. In the American Civil War, there were members of Congress of the House of Representatives who were removed from Congress by Congress for disloyalty to the United States. They were pro-slavery, they were pro-secession, they were pro-Confederate. And they were removed from the United States Congress for disloyalty to the United States. Alexander Ortega Cortez, the Squad, Pliab, Rashid, Olmert, Presley, Laurie Bush, they should be removed from Congress for disloyalty to the United States on the same basis that was employed in the Civil War.
I agree 100%, Jacob, but I don't think there's the political will from the conservative side here in America to confront the naked hatred of people like Tlaib, like the squad that you listed.
I think the conservatives do, but the Republican rhino establishment does not. We have to make the distinction between a conservative and a rhino.
Yep.
Absolutely. To that point, Daryl Issa, the California rhino, was very reluctant in voting for Tlaib to be even censored.
Yep.
My thought is, you know, Tlaib is a star of the BDS, divestment from Israel movement. I was recently, Ken and I were talking about World at War. So I actually grabbed a copy of it, and I was watching the first episode. And what did the brown shirts, the SA, do in 1933? They went around and told Germans, do not buy from these Jewish merchant stores. Do not give them any money. They don't belong in business in Germany.
Okay, but then when you see the human rights abuses, even of women, even of homosexuals in Iran and Saudi Arabia, by Hamas. Why is there not a boycott movement of Muslim businesses and industries? They're guilty of far worse human rights abuses. Why is there no calls and demands to boycott Saudi oil?
I mean, you're absolutely right, Jacob. And to your point, I don't understand how the UN, who is called, you know, the UN and the world community that's calling Israel war criminals, can't understand how since 2001, 20,000 rockets have been shot into Israel, injuring nearly 2,000 people. When you target civilians, I thought it was a war crime.
Not if they're Jews.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
United Nations is the United nothing.
Yeah. The rhetoric of the left has been that because the Palestinians have been oppressed by a colonial power, Israel, supposedly, they have an obligation to resist by any means necessary. Thus, they justify the October 7th killing of 1,400 civilians because, to them, 1,400 civilians, Israeli civilians, are nothing compared to the oppression of Palestine. Again, a gross spirit of Antichrist, a gross spirit of Haman that detracts from life of Israeli.
It's the spirit of Goebbels. Yeah. It's the spirit of Saul Alinsky, a left-wing Jew. It's tell the lie often enough and people will believe it. How can an indigenous people be a colonial occupying presence? By definition, they can't be. You must believe the presuppositional lie. You must throw archaeology, the history, the Bible, reality out the window and take on board the presuppositional lie that it is a colonial settlement policy. Ignore the fact that archaeology proves the historical and biblical records that the Jews were there first and they are the indigenous people. As we always say, Apaches cannot occupy Arizona. Uh-huh. Seminoles cannot occupy Florida. And Jews cannot occupy Jericho or Jerusalem or Bethlehem or anywhere. in biblical Israel.
Ken, I wanted to ask you, because you and I are both huge fans of World at War. Are you seeing anything that draws you to go to the revelation that we are living in times that are not only biblically based, pointing directly to prophecy, but we're repeating mistakes that there's people alive that still remember what was going on at the time?
Yeah, we're having a Jewish woman was just beat down in I forget what city, and they painted a Star of David on her. I mean, just the stuff that's going on. I don't know if they know
that. Lyon, France. Yeah.
In France, Lyon. Yeah. And I don't know if they know that they're repeating history. They're just it's a next level up though, because it's the whole, you know, in the world at war. There wasn't a whole lot of Jew hatred in America. You know, there was Nazis here and stuff like that might have had what they might have said some stuff, but it wasn't exactly like Europe altogether. You know, it wasn't like the Nazis. And now you can see that the protests in New York City were crazy.
Not until you introduced the cancer of Islamic immigration.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy. As I've pointed out to many people, when you add this first wave and you put Palestinians who are more radicalized than that first wave of Islamic immigration, now you have something that can become a powder keg, something that will ignite. I wanted to go ahead and play a video for everyone. I edited some of the things that have been going on in the United States here as far as pushing towards the youth to be anti-Semites. In New York, we have a young lady slashing the pictures of kidnapped Israelis. Irvine, California.
Supporting Palestine.
Right here.
Okay, you enjoy?
Hi.
Yes, where is the manager, please?
I'm one of the managers.
Oh, so why she's wearing this flag?
What was that?
Why she's wearing this flag?
Yeah.
You know what is dividing? It's dividing behaving babies. You know what they did?
You know what they did? These guys?
So we can go ahead and ask you to go ahead and call security.
Why?
We don't need you to go ahead and harass me.
But why? I'm not harassing nobody.
Yeah. So
no, I'm not. Why you say that? Why you say that?
So how can we help you outside of this? Yeah.
This is my ID.
Are you picking up something?
I'm pick up. Yeah. And this is my credit card. And I'm asking you very gently, why did you let her wear this flag?
Yeah, look at
me. Is she supporting Hamas? She's not support Hamas. So why is she putting this flag? Because Hamas controls this place. No? No, I wanna see why. Because these guys behaved our babies.
Okay. So we can go ahead and ask him, we can ask the security.
It's never happened, so
yeah.
If you say this has never happened. Why you say it's never happened? Did you see it? It's my family.
So we can go ahead and ask it.
Why are you taking those down?
College campus in America.
Why are you laughing? That's not funny.
Genocide.
It's not a genocide. They're kidnapped individuals.
This is in the Tolerance, Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles a few days ago. We have pro-Palestinian protesters that are beating up pro-Israeli people that were going to see a screening by Gal Gadot. And we have this just a few days ago here in Los Angeles. And it's interesting how the police are nowhere to be found when you have an event like this. Oh, it looks like... Oh, there we go. We have some police finally coming in. Finally, the last one that I wanted to show on this one.
We're going to play a game called Moss.
Black Rock being protested by their creation.
Going to play a game called Hamas or. There is no law against raping your wife. Is this Hamas or the Taliban?
The Taliban?
The answer was Hamas.
Oh, wonderful.
This law makes it nearly impossible for women and kids to submit claims of incest. Is that Hamas or North Korea?
North Korea?
The answer was Hamas.
Wow.
Women of all ages legally need a male guardian to travel. Is that Hamas or ISIS?
ISIS.
The answer was Hamas.
Oh, yeah, that's...
In an honor killing, it is basically legal for men to murder women and girls if they are promiscuous. Is that Hamas or the Taliban?
Taliban?
The answer was Hamas.
This is a real terrorist organization. They're not freedom fighters.
Hamas was just every one of them.
It seems so unfair for women.
Thanks for educating me.
I think women of color... women generally, LGBTQ individuals, everyone needs to know, like, who they're supporting.
So, Jacob, Ken, I want to go through these videos one by one. First, let's talk about the woman with the head covering slashing the pictures of the missing people from October 7th. I can see somewhat justification, because obviously she is going to be on one side of the equation because of her faith.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, we have the Caucasian, obviously not an adherent to Islam, young lady at college, ripping them down off of the poster. Now, what I don't understand is, how can she be so sure that, you know, either or, it's a terrible thing if these people were kidnapped. And it's terrible when Hamas uses civilians as shields to continue their fight with Israel.
Look, we saw that guy holding his precious little baby daughter, mm-hmm. saying that if he grows up to be a suicide bomber, he's going to encourage it and help her. That is mm-hmm. the mentality of these people. Mm-hmm. That is their religion, and that is their mentality. Those are the people that George Bush wanted in the country after September 11th. Let's go back and put the first blame where it belongs. The Bush family, the Bush dynasty, the Bush administration. That's where it began. But that was continued by Clinton. It was continued certainly by Obama. It's continued now by Biden. It's not Democrat, Republican. It's our own corrupt government letting people like that into the country. They should have been kicked out after September 11th.
I have nothing to add. I was going to say the exact same thing. I was going to point out that it's demonic. It's a base. It's a demonic base.
Just to follow up with the Black Rock. Now, it's a great example of something coming back that you've created and eat, you know, your creation destroying you. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, I don't think Black Rock is a pro-Israeli company at all. But yet, why do you think that these protesters are putting the blame of Palestinian genocide solely at the feet of BlackRock? Is it just misguided youth?
You're dealing with ignorance and stupidity. You're dealing not only with a school system, but a university system designed to engender stupidity. Mm-hmm. People who are incapable of rational thought, they just subscribe to narratives. They don't know how to think analytically or critically or arrive at a conclusion based on fact. That is what this generation has been turned into by the school system, by the teachers' unions, by the universities. That is what has happened. They just don't know any better. They're too stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're the generation that will accept the Antichrist or their kids. Yeah. You know, it's just going to keep going down.
Yeah. You know, it was the pop quiz that the gentleman did with the young college students. Yes. Is mm-hmm. the only glimmer that I saw is educating these kids. This is the person that you're chanting for from the river to the sea. These are the people mm-hmm. that you want to support. These are the people that you are so passionate for. This is what they stand for. Do you want to continue to stand with them? And I hope the message can get out there that this is not something that we should be taking on as virtuous to support this ideology that Hamas tries to propagate to the world. Along that same lines, I wanted to just take a quick look at France. You already mentioned that a woman was beaten in Lyons, but also a Jewish woman in her 30s was attacked in her own home in Montluc, a district of France, stabbed, and a swastika painted on her door by her attacker. She was stabbed twice in the abdomen, and according to the media in France, her injuries were considered serious, though not life-threatening. This goes on the back. In the past few years, we've seen a huge rise of attack of Jewish people in France, which, as Jacob, you've talked about it before, France's past is kind of spotty when it comes to Jewish people to begin with. But the immigration crisis we're seeing in France has brought this all back like a ghost.
Well, the Vichy French cooperated with the Nazis. Let's remember that. Mm-hmm. There was many French who were... You had the Gauls people who were against the Nazis, but mm-hmm. the Vichy French were pro-Nazis. And in many areas of France, you had as many people who were pro-Nazi, others who just didn't want to get involved and were happy to let the Nazis take their country over. But it was really a minority of the people in France who were anti-Nazi. That is their history. About 3 years ago in France, there was another Jewish woman, a school teacher, who was murdered by an Arab Muslim in her home. And he was found not guilty because he had diminished responsibility because he was stoned on cannabis at the time. Now, why was a person like that not guillotined?
Mm. French Foreign Legion, at the very least.
Yeah.
and then I just wanted to add that the far right-leaning leader, Marine Le Pen, who, as Jacob pointed out, her father has a terrible record on anti-Semitism. Mm. But at least we can say for Marine, she's being protested because she plans to attend a weekend march to protest the rising anti-Semitism in France.
That's right.
So it's a very interesting dichotomy that we're seeing in France. Someone being protested because they want to talk about hatred and the rising hatred, and they're protesting. I wonder who the protesters will be.
I wonder.
I want to go to our war update now. There's been a ceasefire called for by the Biden administration, and Israel has decided to accommodate it. Jacob, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, again, let's remember, Barack Obama funded Iran in order to fund Hamas and Hezbollah. Barack Obama funded this. That was Obama. You've got Iranian spies with security clearances in the Obama administration. They were in the Obama administration, and they are now the same people in the Biden administration. This includes Ariane Tabatabi. She is the chief of staff of the Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. She has a security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Robert Malley. Now, why are these people not indicted for espionage? What about Valerie Jarrett? We are talking here of betrayal, not of Israel, but of the United States by Barack Obama. Secondly, we're talking about betrayal of the United States by the Biden administration. He's put over $100 billion by not enforcing the embargoes, plus the money he's given to Iran. Remember, Iran is the number one sponsor of radical Islamic terror, and the Biden and Obama administrations are the number one financial sponsors of Iran. We are talking about the moral equivalent of treason in the thinking of many people. Betrayal. Now, this betrayal is not limited to them. It's other, Clinton certainly, Bush certainly, but primarily Obama and Biden. Obama came out and made a statement, and he said the unbearable Israeli occupation. The man is an unprincipled liar. Israel was not occupying Gaza. There were no Israelis in it. They had an open border. They allowed food, water, medical supplies, and fuel to cross the border, and they allowed 17,000 to 18,000 Gazans a day to cross the border to work at jobs in Israel. Obama is a completely detestable, unprincipled liar. Mm-hmm. But because he said it, there's enough stupid people who are going to agree with him just because he said it. Brain dead morons. This is what you are dealing with. Obama has always been an enemy of Israel. Now Alan Dershowitz admits he's an enemy of Israel. And Alan Dershowitz is one of those naive, gullible, liberal American Jews who voted for Obama and for Biden. Now he sees what they are. Well, if he was a smart Jew, like Ben Shapiro or Dennis Prager, he would have known what Obama and Biden were 10, 12, 15 years ago. This is what you've got. It is unbelievable. What they want is a hudna in their thinking. They want a chance to reorganize and regroup and rearm to continue the jihad and to prevent from being wiped out by the Israelis. And Biden wants to give it to them. Jake Sullivan wants to give it to them. Austin wants to give it to them. Blinken wants to give it to them. They want Hamas to survive. They want Hamas to be able to reorganize and rearm. They want to continue funding Iran. Everything that Biden said that was pro-Israel is simply political theater because it's an election year next year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some stupid Democrat Party Jews who've been so stupid, like Alan Dershowitz, are beginning to be confronted with the undeniable truth now and recognize their own stupidity for what it was and what it is. Some. This is the reality. The Joe Obama administration is anti-Israel and they are pro-Iranian. Talk is cheap. Don't look at what politicians say. They're going to lie or say what's ever politically expedient. It doesn't matter what politicians say. Watch what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they fund terror.
You know, Jacob, along with, you mentioned Ben Shapiro. I just want to give a little bit of credit to one of my favorites, is the adorable curmudgeon that he is, Michael Savage, another one. That saw right through Obama and sees right through Joe Biden, for that matter, as well.
Absolutely.
Good rants.
Great rants.
Great rants.
Great rants.
Great rants. I tune in for the rants.
Michael Savage coined the phrase San Francisco.
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
And my personal favorite, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Yeah,
I've got that book.
I do too.
Oh my
gosh.
Yep.
Now, I just going back to the war update real quick, gentlemen. The attacks on the bases in Syria and Iraq. This is all happening as the Biden administration is calling for a ceasefire. Do you think that this is motivated because of the attacks? Or do you think that the U.S. is very scared of a widening war?
I think the latter. Let's face it. If Donald Trump had been reelected, there would be no disaster in Afghanistan that we had courtesy of Biden. There would be no war in the Ukraine courtesy of Biden and his weakness. And Iran would not be doing this with Hezbollah and Hamas if Trump was president. The left won't tell you that. The mainstream media won't tell you that. I'm not singing all the praises of Donald Trump. I'm not planning to vote for him again for certain reasons. But if he'd been president, none of this would have happened. The villains smell blood. They see a senile corruptocrat who was, even before he was half senile, he was never too bright. He was never too smart of a person. But now they see somebody who's not too bright and who's half senile, if not out and out stupid. He's faltering physically, and he's weak, and they just see opportunity. He's manipulated by people who mean America no good, in my opinion, like Jake Sullivan, like Susan Rice. Obama is still pulling many of the strings.
Yes.
Biden doesn't have the wherewithal or the brains to do it. This is the reality of what is happening. They see weakness. Concerning the attacks on the American bases, of which there's been nearly 50 in the last few weeks, what do you see? They're shooting bazookas. They're shooting rockets. You retaliate with a pea shooter. Trump stood up to Iran. He knew Iran was on back of this, and he went after the head of the snake. You shoot the octopus in the eye. You don't wrestle with its arms.
Absolutely.
And John Kirby is the new Goebbels. John Kirby just straight up lied. Doesn't even know what his own newsrooms are reporting. Crazy.
And finally,
odd times. Odd times.
It is truly odd times. Since he did bring up the war in Ukraine, I'm going to have to share. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm going to have to now. Just want to show you a meme, everybody. Everybody knows this meme.
That's it. Yep.
It's been there 1,000 times, but very relevant. It's the distracted boyfriend meme. And
yes,
we can see in the face of this young lady, the girlfriend, that's Zelensky looking at the United States.
Have you seen Zelensky talk lately? I mean, he's desperate.
Yeah,
it's sad to watch him on. I watched him on Twitter today, and it was sad to see him. It was really sad.
He is a girlfriend scorned at this point.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
You brought this up, Ken. Talk to us about the 39-year Intel analyst and what he says. His prediction for the coming.
Yeah, I'm gonna read what I wrote on you know, my podcast, and we didn't get to this story, but there he said there will be a multiple terrorist attack in the U.S. over the next 14 months. And that's a pretty bold statement. But Tony Segura, he's been an Intel analyst for 39 years, he jumped on his X, formerly Twitter, account this week to warn that we are on the eve of a wave after wave of terror attacks on the homeland. So he's not alone, of course. You know, there's other people predicting stuff too. This post will be attacked by the left, the Marxists, the trolls, Antifa, BLM, even intelligence community, he said. And he also said, rarely can I guarantee the intelligence, but with as close to 100% confidence as possible, there will be multiple terrorist attacks in the U.S. And the attacks will come in waves from Nick. He predicts, you know, that this, you know, railways, prison, water, grid poisoning, water supplies, main highway arteries. Additionally, at least a million, possible 2 million terrorists are already here from Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Qatar, Lebanon, Iran, Somalia, blah, blah, blah. And, he just kept going on and on and on. So, but he predicted multiple terrorist attacks. And he's a pretty smart guy. I follow him on Twitter. So
his name is Tony Segura. Really, what's the injustice? Mayorkas, Biden? Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Obama and George Bush will not be, and Clinton will not be held accountable.
Nope. Nope. All of them.
Not closing immigration.
They get the split. They get the skate. Yep. Yep. Totally. It's crazy.
Just wanted to remind everybody that we will be taking questions in backstage. So please, I've got a few questions that have already been submitted for Jacob. And if you have any more, please ask them now. Also, we have two really intriguing stories that we hope to get to in backstage. Obviously, the channels that have already covered the topics that we want to cover have been banned from YouTube, so we will not be talking about them on this side. But if you'd like to hear some of the things that YouTube doesn't want you to hear, or Facebook for that matter, please join us in backstage. Moving on to our final topic here today, I have a video that I would like to show. It kind of is a progression that we've seen. In Britain and in the world, there is a movement called Stop Oil. And we're seeing a progression in their antics. And for the first time, I think we're seeing the counter reaction to what they've been doing. So bear with me. I will grab that video and we will play it. This is that one. October 26, 2022. This is, let's call this a beginning, juvenile. Still juvenile.
Nobody is listening to us. The messages are clear. The scientists tell us just this last week in the news. The UN have said we're running out of time. People are dying across the world and soon it will be our turn. So even if we here in London don't care anything about the rest of the world, we must care about ourselves. I care about the rest of the world. I believe everybody else cares about the rest of the world. And I believe that they have just got their heads in the sand because they are so busy with business as usual that they can't bear to think about the real consequences of the way we are trying to live our lives, a way that's completely unsustainable.
The government has taken our future. I want our future back. It's criminal inaction on the climate crisis. The UN say you need to act. The IPCC say you need to act. The IMF, the World Bank all say you need to act. And yet the government does nothing. What does it do? It issues new fossil fuel licenses. It says we need to drain every last drop of oil out of the North Sea. That goes against everything that all of these internationally respected bodies are telling us. And here I am, an ordinary person, having to do this. You think I like it? No. This is something that I feel is a duty that I have to do as a citizen of the UK when our government is criminal.
He loves the attention.
I'm furious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm devastated.
Yeah. But they graduated from that.
Women did not get the vote by voting. It is time for deeds and not words. It is time to just stop oil. Politics is failing us. Politics failed women in 1914. If millions will die due to new oil and gas licensing, millions! If we love history, if we love art, and if we love our families, we must just stop oil.
Fella, you need to get on there because your activity is stopping an ambulance getting through. Can you get up? Get up and get on there. We need to move the vehicle.
Sir, there's an ambulance behind us.
Let's pick him up and get him on.
Now, this last image happened in Colombia, or Panama, excuse me. These protesters were, environmental protesters were blocking the road in a new mine that is in Panama. And a motorist, he just lost it. He pulled out a gun and shot the environmentalists, or one of the environmentalists. Now,
two,
okay, I did not know there were two of them. My question to you, Ken, Jacob, I think we're going to start seeing this a little bit more. I think people are running out of tolerance of this. It started with it started with graffiti. It's moved on to destruction of property. Now the blocking of a vital byways, I think that's going to be the step that's going to, the straw that breaks the camel's back. Mm-hmm. And I think this man in Panama is a perfect illustration. It's as they continue to affect more and more people, Ken, you even stated this, they're going to run into those people that are the wrong people to mess with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I bring this up because I also think that's the same thing we're going to see with the pro-Palestinian movement. They're going to push this agenda as long as people are meekly accepting it. But the moment they run into, as Jacob has said, that right wing, that far right wing portion that they're feeding, is going to have a reaction to this at some point.
Yes. Yes. And there will be balkanization, I believe, in even if it's not for real, you know, where we balkanize legally or whatever, but there will be balkanization in certain cities. I can see that.
Absolutely. So, Jacob, any comment on this with the stop oil? And all, it all fits into the same picture. It's the gross...
Let's talk about stop oil. Okay, you have a right to protest. But you don't have a right to destroy art or attack people's businesses. You don't have a right to do that. That's not protest. Yeah. Secondly, you want to stop the oil? What do you want to do? Get electric vehicles? Okay. Where do you get the electricity for the electric vehicles? You either burn coal or you burn oil or you go nuclear. Where's the energy going to come from? Are these really that stupid as they think electricity comes from a wall? Well, actually, they really are that stupid. There needs to be viable alternatives, yes, but they're not going to happen overnight. These are absurd expressions by ignorant people who don't know what they're doing. That's to begin with. You're just dealing with stupid people. If they're going to behave in a violent manner, they need to be dealt with appropriately. Not 6 months in jail, 10 years in jail. 10 years in prison for that kind of vandalism. Malicious vandal, 10 years, and no early parole. I don't care if they're young or old. That's what they did. 10 years hard labor. You don't labor, you don't eat. I don't care about them. They have engaged in not peaceful protest, what they have engaged in is violating the rights of others and of the citizenry. Mm-hmm. Secondly, nobody likes the racist right or anything like that, but you are creating sympathy for them. You are pushing people into the hands of the extreme right. That's what happened in Weimar Germany. That is in part mm-hmm. how Hitler and Mussolini got power. Mm-hmm. You push people into the hands of these extremists. Yeah. If governments will not defend people from the left, people will have to defend themselves, and they will flock to people who will defend them. That is what you wind up with.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jacob. That concludes the segment of things that we can actually talk about on this side. Please join us backstage for not only the questions, but our last two topics, which I'm sure if you haven't heard about them, you want to know about them, especially if you are a believer and have children. Anyway, thank you so much to our people that are still on YouTube and Facebook. Thank you so much for watching us. We appreciate you. Please, we gave you we're going to put links inside the chats. Please grab them and join us on Rumble. And you can always catch us on Moriel.tv. Press the word video and then live. And you can watch backstage and everything on our platform as well. So thank you so much for watching. We will be back to backstage in just a few minutes. Welcome to Backstage, where we can talk about everything freely without worrying about being censored, banned, community struck, and canceled. This is a cancel-free zone. And I'm sure that you know that Ken, Jacob, and myself love being able to talk without fear of being canceled.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump in with the many questions that have come in. And these are not just for Jacob. Ken, if you can give any illumination on any of these, please feel free. But we'll start with this first one. As it is understood, the middle of the 70th week will be evident by the abomination of desolation. Will we know when the beginning of this week begins?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love it. Simple answer is the best.
Yes.
The second question. Can someone ask you, Jacob, and we're not going to limit to Jacob, the political atmosphere surrounding the building of the Third Temple right now in Israel, is there any update that you can provide on that or about the Red Heifer?
We've talked about the Red Heifers before. They have existed in Alabama and on a religious kibbutz in Israel for some years. A Red Heifer would not be an issue in reinaugurating temple worship. What is more of an issue is the reconstruction of the temple. As we've said, it can be prefabricated and assembled within 18 months. And the Temple Institute has nearly all, more than 95, if not 99% of the implements necessary for the re-inauguration or recommencement of Levitical sacrifice. Right down to things like knowing which crustaceans from the Mediterranean to crush to get the blue dye with the curtains. Mm-hmm. Extreme detail. Additionally, mitochondrial DNA research in Jews with names like Levitt and Levinsky and Siegel and Cohen have been going on for more than 30 years. They will have some way to resurrect an Aaronic priesthood. Whether it'll be the direct descendant of Aaron or just a descendant of Aaron, that's something else, how close the descendancy or how accurate it'll be. But it will be somebody from the tribe of Levi, probably demonstrably. So the political obstacles. I've been warning that the Abrahamic Accords are a step towards a false peace in the Middle East that the Antichrist will bring about. It is not unlikely that a false peace between Jew and Arab in the Middle East, resulting in a compromise on the Temple Mount that would resemble what you see in Revelation 11, where the Mosque of Omar, the Mosque of Aqsa, the outer court of the Gentiles, would it coexist with the reconstructed temple? This depends on the views of, as I've said before, the late Dr. Asher Kaufman being accepted, as opposed to the views of Dr. Dan Bahat. Asher Kaufman would put the Holy of Holies in the temple where the Dome of the Spirits is now, about 70 meters north of the Dome of the Rock. Hence, the Dome of the Rock would not have to come down necessarily if Asher Kaufman's views were accepted, which lines up with the present East Gate. There will be a false peace. There will be a tribulational temple emerging from that false peace. And as I've said, the Abrahamic Accords are a sign in that direction. People are applauding the Abrahamic Accords, even some Christians naively thinking it is something positive, when in fact it is something negative, setting the way for this false peace that will result in a tribulational temple and the emergence of Antichrist and his worship in the temple. That is the best I can explain it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Jacob. Ken, can you add anything to that?
He perfectly said everything that I would say, and even more so.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken. Next question. Isn't Gomer mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the area of Ukraine? If so, that gives us a clue as to what happens with Russia and Ukraine and the war. Would this be correct?
There is a question as to the identity of Gomer. Some have associated it with Germany.
Germany, yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I was told too, yep.
The next question we have, Gematria, what do you think it meant to calculate the number, to sit, wait, and guess who it is, or to use a computer to solve it?
No, Gematria is simply an alphanumeric system where, like Roman numerals or like Hebrew and Greek, the letters are numbers, the numbers are letters. Mm-hmm. You simply tabulate the numerical equivalent of a word or a name, most basic form. To see Gematria in the New Testament, you see it most clearly in Matthew's genealogy.
Yep.
I point you to the teaching tapes we have explaining it.
Yes. Excellent teaching.
The term for Greek Gematria is isopsephy. Isopsephy. Hebrew is Gematria.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Our last question for today. With everything that's going on with the homeland demonstrations, some of them becoming riotous, some of them becoming violent, where is the military in all of this?
The military are being taught to wear women's lingerie.
Yes.
To be masculinized, to be woke, to be inclusive. That is the policies of Austin. Now, Austin is seen as a jerk by America's enemies. He's seen as a jerk, just a jerk. That's how America's enemies look upon Austin as the Secretary of Defense. They see him as a complete jerk. He's there, and his priorities are a woke agenda and also global warming. You are seeing the demasculinization of the military. What you're also seeing, however, is the replacement of the soldier, not only with a robot, but with advanced weapons technologies. Mm-hmm. They are going to try to augment, not just supplement and augment, but even replace the fighting man with robotics and with other high-tech technology, which will work up to a point, but only up to a point. Despite very sophisticated fighter aircraft, and the capacity of fighter aircraft to bring in close air support to ground troops from the air, despite even things like Apache helicopters with Hellfire missiles, despite those airborne technologies used in terrestrial warfare attacking from above, ultimately, you still are reliant upon boots on the ground in any conflict. And when you're talking about subterranean warfare, that's not going to change. Yes, you can use robotics. You can use other things. But there never has been, and looking at the Book of Revelation, I doubt there ever will be a replacement for a soldier. Mm-hmm. Although they're trying to replace soldiers, the policy of the present Pentagon and of Austin and Biden and Obama is to replace soldiers with Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Just missing the cookies, I guess. That concludes all our questions. Now we're going to get to talk about subjects that regularly we would not be able to talk about. First of all, I'd like to begin by saying COVID, 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 vaccine, 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 pharma, pharma, pharma. And in that line, you brought this one up. There is a poll that was recently done by Rasmussen.
Yes.
Ken, please tell us about that poll.
So, yeah, I wasn't able to share this on my podcast, so I saved it for today. But a stunning 42% of Americans would likely join a class action lawsuit against COVID vax makers if it was permitted by law. The poll implies that 500,000 Americans were killed. We don't know how many. It's a train wreck. The biggest healthcare disaster in a lifetime. But 24% of the people personally know someone who was killed by the vaccine, and 42% said they would likely join the major class action suit. I believe that the numbers are conservative, but you think it's amazing. When the attacks on 9/11 killed 3,000 people, it was a major news, and the government kills 500,000, and it's, no headlines, no investigation. And earlier this year, Steve Kirsch, I don't know if you follow him at all, suggested to Rasmussen that it might be interesting if it takes a second look at COVID vaccine injuries. And they did. Why? Because they, one of the few honest polling firms in the United States, they are. And we were talking about this in the pre-show, how they're honest. Nobody else wants to know about the vaccine injuries or deaths. How can this happen with a vaccine that people were brainwashed into believing was safe and effective? You can look at the Moderna stock price and determine whether Rasmussen poll is reflecting of the truth or not. Anyway, nobody will try to replicate this poll. They will have the fact checkers discredit it, and then they gaslight Americans into believing the poll was flawed and biased. But all the polling organizations are prohibited from asking questions like these, Rasmussen is the only one that tells the truth. And if you read Wikipedia page on Rasmussen, they totally trash them. And Wikipedia trashes everyone that goes against the narrative. So that's Wikipedia for you. But that's what I wrote down. I was going to go over that on my podcast, but I'm glad I'm able to go over it here.
Right from the beginning, the corrupt Biden administration, Fauci, obviously, and the pharmaceutical companies set certain parameters that were not to be crossed. One of which is you're not to call it the Wuhan virus, and you're not to reveal anything about Fauci's involvement with Wuhan before the pandemic. That's got to be kept from the public, mm-hmm. from the taxpayer. Another is you were to sequester any scientific or medical opinion who went against the narrative. That includes a Nobel Prize winner from the Pasteur Institute in Paris. That includes Eden, Dr. Eden, Vice President of Research for Pfizer. And above all, it includes Robert Malone, Dr. Robert Malone, who basically was the patriarch of the biogenetic engineering technology using messenger RNA from which the vax was synthesized. The phony vax, it's not even a real vax, okay? It's not an actual genome of the virus itself. You have to sequester it. But finally, the taxpayer was to indemnify any liability for deaths or damage caused by the vaccines, not the manufacturers, not the pharmaceutical companies, the taxpayers, who were lied to and misled, but they have to pick up the bill for any consequences of having been lied to and misled by Fauci, by the World Health Organization, by the Biden administration, et cetera.
Corruption.
Yes, corruption.
Yeah, corruption. And they continue to send notifications out to people to come in for their booster shots.
Yeah.
While we're seeing that it is, to some of the people that you're just were talking about, Jacob, they were saying that it's highly suspect that there are issues with the Pfizer vaccine. And yet they continue to push the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine on everyone.
Plus the fact that they realize it really doesn't work.
Correct.
No, no. And then their claims at the beginning of it working 100%, then 80%, then 50%, then you need to get a second one. You know, it just kept getting worse and worse.
And their suppression of the vaccine injuries that have occurred thus far.
I mean, like I said, 24% of the people personally know somebody who has been killed. I know two people that have died right after, 2 days after, both of them, 2 days, and multiple injuries, myocarditis and just immune disease.
They made myocarditis a household word.
Yes, yes.
After this vaccine.
Where was it before? I hadn't heard of it.
Very rare for people that suffered pulmonary heart issues.
So let me just say this real quick. I'm gonna talk about this on my podcast. WEF linked up with UPenn, and climate change is causing heart attack spikes. That's gonna be a story. It's climate change. Now they're just changing the narrative. They're just switching up everything. It's crazy. And people believe it.
Ken, you're giving previews now to what you're
talking about? Yeah, I know. Sorry. but you said something. You said something right. Yeah. And that's that, you know, everybody's ignoring the facts. It's like, what's going on? I don't know what to do.
And you know what's really funny? It's the people that, at least in my family, that were very pro-vaccination, they never talk to me about it anymore today.
Yep.
They're completely, their silence is deafening.
I have a couple of people in my family as well.
Our final topic today, if you had not heard, which you may not have, there was a terrible event in March this year. There was an attack on a Christian school by a transgendered gun person, I don't know. but unlike every other gunman, the manifesto was not released by the authorities, and for this long it has been under lock and key. The investigative team at Louder with Crowder was able to obtain pages from the gunman of the Nashville shooter and released them this Wednesday. There was an immediate reaction from YouTube, who hit a community guideline strike with Crowder, and then Facebook also, when images of these leaked documents are posted on to Facebook, they're immediately taken down or lost, shall we say. So there is a definite campaign to make sure that this is not widely disseminated, what was actually in the documents. And it goes further to what I believe are two forces that are currently trying to destroy Western society. First is gender ideology, which is touted as something to be looked at and respected and actually praised and held up. And then the ethnic hatred of white males through people like BLM, people who are like Antifa. Now, when we look at these, we have to understand that these are not attacks just on sexuality, on traditional values, or even white males. What they really represent, that I'm trying to really drive home, is that the biblical prescription for the way that relationships work are for a male and a female to have a family. And both BLM and the LGBTQ, let's call them mafia, their enemy number one is the nuclear family. Mom, dad, and kids. And they work tirelessly to destroy that bond. As did the communists before them. As did the Nazis before them. It seems to be a repeating history again. This seems to be the theme of the show. Again, the widespread spirit of Haman, the hatred of Jews, the hatred of believers, and their values is alive and well and being propagated by the education system of our country, which is evident by some of these things that this white girl, 28-year-old woman, said in her diary, which I'm going to read. Now, I'm not going to read you everything because there's lots of expletives laced in it, but I'm going to read you some of the most disturbing things in it if you have not already read it. You can find it online. Please read it and make yourself aware, because some of the things that are said are very disturbing. So this is dated to February 3rd, 2023. Kill those kids, those crackers, going to a private fancy school with those fancy khakis and sports backpacks, with their daddy's Mustang convertibles. I wish to shoot you. You and your mop yellow hair. I want to kill you, little crackers. That was the first note page. Now, this is the one that really is disturbing, that really shows something is going on, I believe, in the government as far as the FBI, Homeland Security. This is dated 3/27/2023, the day that she went to shoot the children in Nashville. The day has finally come. I can't believe it's here. I don't know how I was able to get this far, but here I am. I'm a little nervous, but excited too. Been excited for the past 2 weeks. Now, this is the most important line of this document. There were several times I could have been caught, especially in the summer of 2021, which I'm going to come back to that. None of that matters now. I'm only 7 minutes away. I am an hour and 7 minutes away. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm ready. I hope my victims are. My only fear, if anything goes wrong, I'll do my best to prevent anything, any of the sort. God, let my wrath take over my anxiety. It might be 10 minutes. It might be over in 10 minutes. It might be done in 3 to 7. It's going to be quick. And I hope I have a high death count. Ready to die. Ha ha. And it's signed, the shooter. Now, I want to go back to this line, and if you both could comment, it would be great. I mean, obviously, I'm asking you questions you don't know, have any information on, but your speculation would be great. What do you think the line is? There were several times I could have been caught, especially back in the summer of 2021. What do you think that means?
I would speculatively that she did things that normally would have put somebody on a watch list. But because she was left wing, she was not put on the watch list. Courtesy of corrupt law enforcement, Federal Bureau of Intimidation, etc. Speculatively, that's what it could mean. On the other hand, the woman is obviously demonized and psycho, so she may not be coherent in what she's saying. Yeah. Something we can be relatively sure of. She does not have diminished responsibility for whatever mental illness she may have. She's almost certainly in the lake of fire forever.
Yeah.
And the children that she murdered are most certainly with the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. In that, we have justice.
Yes.
Ken, can you? I'll follow up the same question to you. Your speculation on that line first.
I agree exactly with Jacob. He took the words right out of my mouth, and that's the justice that we can appreciate, is that, you know, just like if we have 80 years on this planet and we think about Hillary and Obama and all the, you know, they're 99.99999% going to end up in hell and in the lake of fire, and we may have to wait that long. They have big demons, like I always say, they have big demons protecting them. Well, so what? All the demons get thrown in, everything gets thrown in, you know, in the world to come. So I'm just looking forward to that mostly. But when we see this injustice, it's sad, really sad. So
no,
I agree with Jacob that the kids are in heaven, and she, you know, 99.99999% is in the lake, it will be in the lake of fire. You know, she's in hell right now.
Now, if she could come back for 30 seconds, she wouldn't be saying those words.
Yep.
No, I don't think so either.
But there's no mercy and no second chance.
Yeah.
This is stunning to me, because as many people have already stated, and I'm just going to restate it here, this manifesto is showing some of the real mind cancer that the leftist agenda is doing to young people.
Yes.
And we need parents and the citizens at large need to be aware when they hear people espousing this same hatred of white people, the same hatred of the nuclear family, when they hear intolerance against Christians and Jews, they have to be aware, situationally aware. And yet the media and the government seem to be working hand in glove to prevent any type of knowledge of the danger people are in with leftist ideology. That is what's really stunning to me. You know, it's, you have to know these things to be able to prepare for them, and yet no one is preparing.
Yeah. No one.
Just wanted to go over this, and while it's a wonderful thing that Crowder got in his hands, we're seeing that the detectives that were on the case at Nashville, who had access to these documents, they've all been put on administrative leave by the Nashville Police Department.
Yep.
They're being punished for this being leaked to the public. Instead of them coming out like the Nashville mayor and actually addressing the issue, he's gonna beat the cops for it. He's gonna take away their pensions, probably fire them.
And this is in a red state.
This is in a red state.
A red as can be state. Yep.
Yes. Which goes to show you further, just because you're in a red state doesn't mean that the leftist mind cancer has not infected people to the point of your government coming against you or preventing you from knowing.
You know, in Texas, it's in Houston and it's in Austin. Yes. It's a red state.
Dallas is on its way.
Houston, last time I visited Texas, and I will be visiting Texas next week. Yeah, I've seen it firsthand, and I grew up in Houston. So it used to be a red city, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But these last few years, it's gotten more and more blue.
Mm.
Also, this story is a very interesting in the fact that while Crowder released this, people couldn't help but be angry at Crowder for doing this. Jeremy Boring commented on X, Twitter, "Crowder is a dishonest, spiteful, narcissistic scumbag who even in his victories can't help but betray most everyone else doing good work in our space, including those who have sued for the release of the manifesto at the Tennessee Star. As somehow not sufficiently pure, dedicated, or conservative, his no true Scotchman stick is offensive and tired, but credit where credit is due, he landed a huge and important scoop here." So that last sentence, there was a little reconciliation there, but obviously no love lost between Jeremy Boring and Crowder, considering the fallout of them trying to bring him to the Daily Wire. And then also Candace Owen, "Holding my comment regarding the Nashville Manifesto, because I'm unsure if it is in fact the manifesto or just a 3-page of the shooter's notebook. My early understanding was that the shooter had a detailed manifesto which spelled out the reasons for the attack, which was being withheld. Either way, I hope at the very least puts pressure on the authorities to release everything they have, because the public always had a right to know." Now, I have a question regarding that. Now that we have these leaked pages and we know what to expect from the manifesto, is there any way that we as citizens, even if you're, say, in Nashville, can lobby legally to have those pages released?
I don't know what the Freedom of Information laws exactly are. It's a legal question.
Yeah.
Where are you, Steve?
It should be a public right to know. When you had a murder like that that involved people, should have. You could be pretty sure if it was a right-wing shooter, or as somebody who said that they were right-wing. Like the murderer in Pittsburgh of the synagogue, where the murderer
searched.
It would be all over the place, no problem.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But because it's leftist.
They're just protecting somebody with a lesbian agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure what the way, yeah. I'm not sure about FOIA anyway. Yeah,
I mean, it would be nice to get someone to step up and try to get the rest of these documents. I think they're needed, especially if we really want to understand the radicalization on both sides of the spectrum. We know that there is a violent right wing. Let's not deny that. But equally, we have to acknowledge that for the past few years, since the 2020 election, we've seen extreme left not punished in any way for their extremism.
Mm. Yep.
Well, I want to go ahead and end the show, but before we end the show, I just want to remind everybody, as I try to do on Ken's Corner, that while we try not to bring bad news, obviously the world is filled with bad news. In fact, the Bible says all creation groans under the weight of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there is hope. And the hope is that the gospel message will get out, more people will turn to the Lord's word, and more people will get down on a knee, not to praise and worship idols or people, but to pray to their God, their loving God, who was willing to come down and sacrifice his life so that they could have a relationship. Jacob, why don't you close us out?
Lord Jesus, we know that nothing's going to put an end to this evil except your return. And while we pray it would be soon, and our cry of our hearts would be Maranatha, We do pray for the lost, the unsaved, the members of our families, those who you know will respond to the message of the truth before it is too late. Have mercy, Lord God. We don't want you to tarry, yet, Lord, we do want you to tarry. We don't want to be of two minds. We want to have the mind of Christ. You're wanting none to perish, but all should reach repentance. I pray, Lord God, that there would be an influx of souls, that your Son may return. Maranatha, Maranatha. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we remember the situation in Israel, and that you will raise your hand against the enemies of Zion. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ken, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. I know you're a busy man. Jacob, same with you. Thank you for, of course, catching up. And to everybody who's watching with us, thank you again for watching. We'll see you next week.
Amen. God bless. We'll be right back.